Okay, well, welcome, folks, and welcome to Pastor Appreciation Night. I'm Brother John. He's not here. You get me. We're gonna open God's Word and get a blessing out of it. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 8. Was this a work day for you? I didn't work around the house. I didn't go to my regular job, but I know some people, it was a work day. We're going to look at what Jesus did one day after work in Matthew chapter 8. I know we got some homeschoolers in the house. If you're a homeschool teacher, well, you can maybe relate to Jesus. Because in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, it's famously known as the Sermon on the Mount. He's basically doing some teaching there to his people. And he's got quite a crowd there. He had people coming from different cities and different regions. They're following him. They heard that he's a great teacher and he did miracles. So he's drawing a crowd. And during the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about living under the law and how tough it was. And they're put under the law to show them that they needed a savior, not to try to keep it, because they couldn't keep it, right? So after chapter 8, he comes down from the mountain, okay? Chapter 7, verse 28 says, "It came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as one as the scribes." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we do thank you for your love to us. We thank you for taking us under your wing, adopting us into your family. We ask you, as the songs we sang there, be our leader, Lord. And we know you want to lead, and you lead us in the right direction and down the right path, and you care for us on the way. Help us to be good followers, Lord, just to keep our eyes on you as we open the scriptures tonight. I guess you bless each person that reads them. Give us something we need for our walk with you, Lord. And we ask you to bless the classes downstairs, the youngsters and the teens. May they be blessed to give this hour to you. That's just in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, chapter 8. I say, take a walk with Jesus. and as we look at this passage, he's come down off the mountain. And multitudes are following him. We're going to look at the people he runs into in the evening after homeschooling there, right? He's the homeschooler. And it's a great crowd of people. And I don't think people change too much. People walking around today, the ones we run into, the people in our family and our circle of influence, aren't they pretty much the same as the people were 2,000 years ago? People are pretty much the same, I think. So as Jesus walks, he's going to run into a number of people here in chapter 8. Maybe you can relate to one of those persons. Maybe you got the kind of problem that they had as they run into Jesus and interact with him. Or maybe you can be like, think of yourself as Jesus if one of these people came up to you. We're supposed to be kind of like Jesus, right? Who here is a Christian? What does Christian mean? Little Christ. We're supposed to, you know, be like him. We're supposed to think like him, walk like him, talk like him. So let's see who we relate to here. Chapter 8. When he come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. First one he runs into, behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. He only worshipped God. This leper must have realized who he was. He worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Yeah, leprosy. You ever study that disease? It's a very old disease. It wasn't until 1950 they came up with a cure for that. For thousands of years, it was uncurable. You had to separate those people so they weren't contagious. You go back to Leviticus chapter 16, I think it is, the whole chapter, what to do if you got symptoms of leprosy, symptoms in your body, symptoms on your clothes or on the walls of your house. It was a terrible disease. Basically, the flesh falls off. It gets numb, and you can't feel, and you hurt yourself, and there was no cure for it. So God had a a system in the Old Testament for his people what to do to keep it from spreading and everybody catching it. So this leper comes up to Jesus and he says, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. This man knew something. Jesus could cure something that was incurable. Is that true? It's caused by a bacteria. They didn't have microscopes back then. But is God, Jesus, Lord of all? If he's the Lord of all the animals and all the people, is he the Lord of bacteria? Yes, he is. And this guy realized that. You can cure me. And look what Jesus, he put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. It was fast. We get the medicine, we take the pills in the course, you know, take two pills 3 times a day for 2 weeks, and gradually you get better. Jesus can cure things just like that. He can snap his fingers better than I can. I noticed Jesus wanted to cure him. Yes, he did. And this leper came up to him, and Jesus touched him. Wow. You think about that. You weren't supposed to touch a leper. That's part of the Old Testament law. Touch not the unclean thing. Does that ring a bell? Yeah. But Jesus is, he's the Lord above the law. He wrote the law, and he had power over those germs. And then after that, he tells him to go back. He says, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now remember, Jesus came to his people under the law, and at this time, the book of Matthew, they're still under the law. He had to go back to the priests there, get examined, and go through the ritual and be quarantined for a certain amount of time, and then he would be he had to bring a gift to the priests. So Jesus didn't say, "Okay, you can go home now." He says, "You got to do what it says under the law." Jesus always wanted to keep the law, obey the law. He's got power over those germs. Okay, so he's leaving the mountain there, right? And these people found him. How many people wanted to talk to Jesus, you think? If there was 50,000 people up on the mountain there, big crowd, it says, how many people want to have a word with Jesus after the sermon? I mean, I see Pastor Ken, after church, 10 people want to have a word with him, right? And do you think he's tired? I know Pastor gets tired preaching, you know, and standing up here and talking. He needs to sit down and take a break. How tired was Jesus after preaching all day on the mountain there? And hit the crowd there. There's all kinds of people, right? You think about that. You go to school, you had the serious students, right? The nerds, the pocket protectors. But then you had the jocks that are just trying to pass so they can go out and play football. And then there's always the class clown. Remember the yearbook, the class? Do you have the class clown in your yearbook? You know, most likely to, you know, make you laugh. All these people were up on the mountain. Think they all wanted to come there and see Jesus? How many guys are dragged there by their wives unwillingly? How many kids? We're gonna go listen to this new preacher. Oh, Mom, do we have to? I want to play, what they have before Nintendo in 2,000 years ago? I don't know. They had something, right? I want to play my dreidel. Okay, but all kinds of people there. The leper is one of them. The leper says, that guy can help me. Who do you run into next? Next, verse 5. And Jesus entered into Capernaum. Capernaum was like his home away from home. He adopted that when he went on the road, started preaching his public ministry. It was like his home away from home. He stayed at Peter's house, right? And in Capernaum, it was a trading town, it was a fishing town, and there was a Roman legion stationed there. That was your local army base. A legion of what? 5,000 men? A lot of them. So next person he runs into, it says verse 5, as he entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Centurion, he's the officer. Century, the word there, sent, 100. He had at least 100 men under him. He was the master sergeant, the drill sergeant, or the officer. He wasn't a lowly guy. And he comes to Jesus. Now you think about that. He's a Roman. He's a Gentile. Who was Jesus to this Roman soldier, career soldier, right? Jesus was one of the conquered people. He was basically a slave. I mean, Roman out there sent their legions out and they conquered just about any place they wanted, took over the known world. And Israel was one of them. God let them be taken over. So this guy, he was a higher up, right? He was an officer. And he came beseeching. What does that word mean? Begging. Please. Please. He said, Lord, Master, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now, the palsy. I said, now, what's that? I got to look that up. Merriam-Webster, well, it's a nerve disease. You lose function on one of your limbs. You have a paralysis problem. I think that'd be the worst nightmare. I went out and rototilled my neighbor's garden. I cut my own grass. I planted some stuff in the garden. I like doing things. I like activity. To be a paraplegic or quadriplegic, I wouldn't like that. And this guy, he says, my servant, he's home and he's in bad shape. Tells me something about this. He might have been a sergeant, but he cared about people. My servant. That's probably a slave, you know. At the time, 2,000 years ago, 1/3 of the world were slaves. It wasn't a weird thing. you're a slave, you're a slave owner, or you're one of the minorities. He said, my servant, he's in bad shape. He's at home. And he went to find Jesus because he wanted him to get some help. This isn't love. This is looking out for the other guy. This is putting somebody else before you. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. You know, you read through the New Testament. Do you ever find a place where Jesus says, you, I'll heal, but I'm not going to heal you? No. He healed everybody. He stayed up late in the book of Mark. They brought him a late night. The whole town, anybody that's sick or injured or filled with demons, they brought him to Jesus and he healed them all. That's a picture of the coming kingdom where he is healing in his wings and everyone will be healed. He says, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion answered him. He says, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. He didn't think he was better than this conquered carpenter guy, young guy. The guy's probably older, right? Centurion. I'm picturing somebody that's 40 years old, you know, somebody that's been in the Roman army for most of his life. He says, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. But you speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I'm a man under authority. It's a chain of command, right? We always have somebody in our chain of command. Who here is in the armed forces? Anybody? Who's got a job? You got a boss, and then your boss has a boss, and his boss has a boss, and they answer to the stockholders or the chairman of the board. Yeah, the chain of command. In the military, you're the private, you're the sergeant, you're the officer, you're up to the president, which is the commander in chief. He says, I'm under authority, and I have soldiers under me, and I say to this man, you go, and he goeth, and another, you come, and he cometh, and do my servant, you do this, and he does it. He says, I'm used to giving orders. And he says, Jesus says, you can just make that command, it'll be done. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. He said unto them that followed, he's talking to other people. People are listening in, eavesdropping. He says, verily, truly, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. So this guy isn't even a Jew. And look at his faith. He understands that I got power over people that aren't even around. This guy's sick at home. I'll say, be better. Snap my fingers, and he's healed. He says, I haven't found faith like that, no, not in Israel. And he makes another statement here, verse 11. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, that's your Jewish heritage, right? That's how the Jews identify. Now, I am a son of Abraham. I can trace my roots back there. But this guy, he's from Italy, maybe. Just because they're in the Roman army, they could have been from Spain or France or Gaul. I've traced some of my family. They came from all sorts of places, but they were Romans. He says this guy. There's going to be many like him. They should come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about Gentiles getting saved during the kingdom, millennial kingdom. The but's very important here. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We've heard that before in the scriptures, right? Talking about not being saved, not getting to be with God for eternity, being separated from God for eternity. He says, many of the children of the kingdom are going to be kicked out. Jesus is going to have a time where he's going to have everybody line up there, and he's going to separate his sheep from the goats. You want to be a sheep, right? He says, now this guy, he's going to come and he's going to be in the kingdom, a Roman soldier. Did the Jewish people love the Roman soldiers? Not at all. They were looking for a savior, that would save them from Rome's dominion, give them back their own authority, like we've been studying usually on Judges on Wednesday night. But no, he said, no, there's many Gentiles, many shall come from the east and the west. Does God want the Roman soldiers to be in heaven? Yeah. Does Jesus love the Roman soldiers? The ones that nailed him to the cross. He laid there and let them do that. Can you imagine that? You talk about strength. Would you let somebody nail through your hands and feet when you could just say, well, I'm out of here. He loved those soldiers. On the cross, he spoke those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They thought they're doing the right thing. Part of the judicial system, they were stringing up somebody that deserved to die. They were blind. They didn't know who they were crucifying there. But this Roman centurion, did he hear the Sermon on the Mount? I wonder, how do you hear about Jesus? He's probably stationed there in the town and in the garrison, right? Verse 10, Jesus says, oh, that's faith. That's great faith. You understand how much power I have. Now, where do you get that faith? Where does the Bible say we get our faith from? We get it from God. Go keep your finger there and go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. How's your faith tonight? How's my faith? Mark chapter 9. Where should we start? Verse 17. Mark 9:17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. Doesn't mean stupid, means he doesn't speak. Quiet, okay? And whatsoever and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. I speak to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He said unto him, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him unto him, and he saw him, and straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long ago since this came unto him? He says, of a child. And oft time to cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If, you know, same like Matthew there. If you will, if. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, oh, wait a minute, I skipped the verse, didn't I? Verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That's where I am. Anybody relate to that? Yeah, I got faith. Boy, I wish I had stronger faith, more faith. Yeah, it's a process. It's a growing process. How's your faith? Is it growing? Pray, give me more faith. Give me more faith. I wrote down another verse here. Matthew chapter 16, please. Let's turn there and see why I wrote that. I can't even remember. Must have been important. Matthew 16, verse 23. Has to do with faith and growing, yes. Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. That's not the verse I needed. Oh, skip that verse then. Okay, let's keep on going. Verse 14. Who else did you run into here? We're still with the centurion there. Verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Right away, he was cured of this paralysis, this palsy, whatever his illness was, because of his owner's faith. So Jesus keeps on going here. Verse 14, when he's come into Peter's house. That's where he stayed. His home away from home. He saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Now, I was reading this chapter first to say, well, these are all people that came to Jesus. That preach. You got a problem? Go to Jesus. But here's an oddball, an exception in the chapter. Here's a woman that couldn't go to Jesus, and Jesus came to her. Jesus come to you where you are, right? He can be everywhere. Through the Holy Spirit, everywhere at the same time. He said, I go to heaven. It's better that I go to heaven. When Jesus was on earth, he could only be in one place at one time, right? You know, he had to go find him. The centurion had to go to find him. But the Holy Spirit, he's everywhere. He's inside you. Wow. So Jesus came to Peter's house, and he saw Peter's mother-in-law. He even cares about mothers-in-law. You get along with your mother-in-law? I always got along with mine. He saw his wife's mother laid up and sick of a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. That's why Jesus wants to heal us, heal us of our soul's diseases, our physical diseases, so we can serve Him, right? She got up and she started making dinner. He healed another lady. Now the evening was come. He spent all day teaching. It's getting late. They brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word. He spoke and the spirits had to obey him. He's the Lord of devils and demons. They got to obey him. He's the Lord of all. Amen. And he healed all that were sick. Wow. I'm trying to picture that. I'm picturing a little suburban street. They didn't have skyscrapers. Picture that street out there. Jesus in that little house, Peter's house, with his Peter's mother-in-law and a couple of the disciples there, close disciples. And people in town hear that the healer is here. Wow. Let's take our kid down there. Maybe he'll heal him. If someone's got a possession problem, they all came and they are all healed. Jesus wants to heal us. Now, you say, now, does Jesus want to heal everybody? Did he change his mind? How come? You know somebody that's sick today, bad shape. How come Jesus won't heal them today? Disease is a serious thing, right? How about cancer? Ooh, you know, somebody says, you know, I hear about so many people having cancer, this kind of cancer, that kind of cancer, and I go to the know-it-all. Miss Alexa, and I say, Alexa, what are our chances of getting cancer in our lifetime? Because there's so many kinds of cancer. And the answer is 1 out of 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, me. That's not good. That's scary. Yeah, and a lot of this is about healing. You know, they had the same problem back then, but can we go to Jesus now and get healed? Not like in this chapter. Cancer is scary. The big C. Do you know the big C is in the Bible? Matthew chapter 16. Turn there. Do you know the big C is in the Bible? Chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered him and said, "Thou art the Christ," capital C, "the Son of the Living God." That's the big C. I'm not afraid of getting the big C. I've already got the big C. If I get cancer, well, that'll be something. But since I got the big C, cancer becomes a little C. It's a nasty thing to go through. Probably as nasty as leprosy. Probably as nasty as the palsy. We're going to get something. The soul that sinneth shall die. Does God want us all to be cured and live forever? That's not the plan. He doesn't want us to be here forever. He wants us to get saved and get out of here, right? So, disease is a big part of life. So I decided today, before the doctor tells me I got something horrible wrong with me, that I'm going to trust Jesus. And that comes, put a little smile on my face and say, "Okay, Lord, maybe I'll see you sooner than I planned, you know? And not let it get me too far down, right? Yeah. So, evening comes, he healed them all. You think he's getting tired? People chase him around town. He's got to get away from them, man. Okay, back to Matthew chapter 8. Back to chapter 8, where were we? We were verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw the great multitudes around him, he gave a commandment to part to the other side. He's gonna get out of town. The other side of what? This is the Sea of Galilee. He said, okay, we're gonna get in the boat and we're gonna leave the crowd behind. He says, he gave commandment, let's get the boat, rig the sail, and here we go. And he's going to interrupt it again. Verse 19, a certain scribe came. Scribe is what? He's one of the religious crowd. He's the guy that not only wrote and copied out the scripture, he was an authority. He knew what he was, he could read and write, and he knew the Old Testament. And a certain scribe came and said to him, Master, teacher, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I'm going to be your follower. You said that? Yeah. And Jesus cautions him. He says, okay. Verse 20. He says, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He's saying, you're going to follow me? Are you sure? I don't have a place to stay. Yeah, you want to live on the street? Be unsure of your future? Who likes knowing they have a house to go home to? It's a good feeling, right? I come back from vacation and every time I leave town, come back. Think the house is still standing or think it burned down? Sometimes I wish it burned down so I got a new one. I got replacement insurance. still there, rats. it's good to have that security. Social Security. I'm on Social Security because I'm 60-some years old, okay? But he's telling the scribe here, he says, there's no Social Security if you're following me. Huh. Is that true? If you surrendered to Jesus and he wants you to be a preacher, tell you where to go to find a flock, you got no guarantees. You're going to trust him. You're going to have faith in him. He's going to take care of you and meet your needs, your family. I think of Ryan Case's family down there in Mexico. They left the border where the cartel are shooting up the place, and they're going to the coast there, Baja, Tijuana. And he goes there thinking the Lord's going to do a work there, and he goes there not knowing where he's going to live or where he's going to find a building and who's God's going to give him the priest to and build a church with. That's what he's telling the scribe there. It's all unknown. Trust and follow him and eyes of faith. So Jesus kind of tries to discourage this guy. Says, are you sure? And another of his disciples said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. He said, I want to follow you, but my dad's dying. I gotta go take care of family business. Sounds like a legit excuse, right? And Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Huh. What's he saying there? If you're gonna follow Jesus, you gotta when he says march, you say you can't make excuses. There's always something else that's holding you back. I got to do this first or that first. Jesus says we're getting in the boat and we're going over the other side. Follow me, and let the don't worry about the past. Look to the future. So he's getting out of town here. Okay. And we entered into the ship. His disciples followed him. How many were on the boat? I don't think it's 50 or 60 disciples. Probably the usual 12 we think of, right? And they get out on the sea there. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Who's been out on a boat in rough water? I was in the Navy for a while. I like that, but I was on a big steel ship, and the wind blew away. It was easy on me because I was a cook. I was the baker. When you went into the gale there and 80-mile-an-hour winds and the ship's rolling, all the guys got seasick and they didn't want any dinner. You put out saltines. So it was an easy day. I didn't get seasick, and I like that. I like when it was rolling. But on a little fishing boat, wooden sailing craft, that must have been a little bit scary. Especially as the evening's coming, it's getting dark, and a big storm, a great tempest, right? Insomuch the ship was covered with waves. The water's coming over into the boat. Now that's when it gets scary, because the water's supposed to be outside the boat, right? And where's Jesus? He was asleep. Now he didn't get seasick, he's able to sleep through it. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." I don't know why it's not an exclamation mark there. Lord, save us, we're dying. They understood who had control over the wind and the waves, right? We sing songs about that because he does. Now, I don't know about you. I'm trying to learn not to complain about the weather. Who thinks it's too hot today? Who thinks it's too cold this morning? Who thinks we get too much rain around here? If you start saying that, you're saying, Lord, you're not doing it right. You're making a mistake. Now, I have to say, okay, Lord, if I had my druthers, it'd be sunny and 75 every day, and it'd be like L.A., live in the desert. The Lord knows what we need, right? And he's in control. So we should stop complaining about the weather so much. If he thinks we need two feet of snow or 6 inches of rain, guess what? That must be what we need, right? It's hard to discipline yourself not to complain when you don't like it. So he wakes him up there, Lord, save us. And he said to them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Did they think that God was going to let them die out there? I thought Jesus said, gave commandment to go to the other side. Would Jesus tell them we're going to go to the other side if they weren't going to get there? And they weren't even thinking logically. Talk about not having faith, not having logic there. He says, why are you so fearful? Are we fearful? Who's afraid of things? Who's afraid of the dark? Things that go bump in the dark. I got a sister-in-law. She lost her husband here a couple weeks ago. Now she's living by herself. She wakes up in the night and she hears noises. Something's on the roof. She gets out of her 38. I'm all alone. Yeah, we're fearful people. We're afraid of the unknown, fear of the unknown. Is that what they call it? Something's up there. Probably a squirrel running around on the roof. I'm going to go shoot him. It could be a burglar. I don't think burglars crawl in your house. You know, there's no way to get in your house. What would be the point? But we're fearful people. And these guys are fearful for no reason. But Jesus got up, he arose, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. He just said, okay, wind, quit blowing, you're scaring these guys. You waves, just lay flat, and there's great calm. That's a pretty picture when you're painting a picture. The glassy lake with the reflection of the trees and everything. But now these sailor boys have a problem. If it's that calm, no wind, how are they going to get across the lake? It doesn't say there, but they're going to have to start rowing, aren't they? They wanted Jesus to make it come. Well, okay. You want to roll? Okay. Yeah. And the men marveled. Imagine if I saw that, I'd be oh wow myself. They marveled. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? There's your exclamation mark. Wow. What do you got control over? Not much. Can you control your kids? Can you control the traffic? Can you, the weather? Yourself? Yeah. Jesus has control of everything. He lets something go crazy. Why do you let bad guys run wild and hurt people? Why did he put up with some of our shenanigans? He gives us free will. But he can control everything, even the winds and the waves. What manner of man is this? He's the man God. Are they learning that? He wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just a good physician, a great physician. He was God Almighty, ruler of the universe. Even the winds and the sea obey him. But they get across the ocean. I don't know how long they had to row in that calm water. When he come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with the devils. Okay, they hit the dock, come on the shore, and here comes two guys coming out of the tombs, out of the cemetery. I try to picture that. Local cemetery. Here come two crazy guys through the gates of the cemetery. Exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. Now, in other accounts of the story, they say, guys, they tried chaining them up, and they broke the chains, and they run around naked, and they're wild men. And exceedingly fierce, scary guys. If somebody's controlled by the devil, that should be scary. They're inhabited by demons. Now, if you're a Christian, you can't get possessed by demons. The Holy Spirit dwells in you, and no bad spirits can get in there. But if you're not saved, it's a danger that they can come in there. Doesn't say anywhere in the New Testament that people aren't demon-possessed today. We read about some of these serial killers that got no... Killing people doesn't bother them at all. I think they're demon-possessed. These come out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, and no man might pass us by that way. Nobody wants to mess with them. And behold, they cried out, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" Now, these guys weren't at the Sermon on the Mount, but they knew who Jesus was. Jesus, thou Son of God. Does the devil and his fellow fallen angels, demons, devils, do they know who Jesus is? Says they do. "Art thou come hither? You come here to torment us before the time?" They know their future. The devil knows what God's got planned for him, and he fights them anyway. So these guys say, "Are you come here to torment us before the time?" They're scared. But they're confronting him. And then there was a good way off from them, way over yonder, a herd of many swine feeding. Now, what do we know about Jews and pigs? The good Jew doesn't enjoy a BLT. Poor guys. They ought to become Christians so they can have a BLT. I love bacon. Who likes bacon here? We have it about once a day in our house, I swear. It's bacon grease is my favorite essential oil. But these pigs over here. Now, the Jews weren't allowed to have pigs. Why have pigs if you can't eat them? You think they're raising them for, you can't fry your donuts in their grease. You think they're making leather footballs out of them? Throwing the pigskin, they call that, right? No, these are people who weren't obeying the law. They were having ham sandwiches, roast ham for dinner. So they weren't good followers of the Lord under the Old Testament economy. So there are those pigs over there, a whole herd of them. And the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." Now they knew that they're going to get kicked out of those guys. I don't know, doesn't say if they're guys, girls. These two people, right? They met them too. It doesn't say what sex they are. Demon-possessed people. He says, "If you cast us out of these people, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." I guess these evil spirits, the evil demons, they like to have a body to possess. He says, "If it can't be in these people, let us go into the pigs." And he said to them, "Go." Jesus cast them out. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Even the pigs didn't like these demons in them. They jumped off a cliff. They'd rather die than have demons in them. Okay, now the last, get to the end of the chapter. Jesus is going to meet a few more people here. And they that kept him, kept them, kept who? Kept the pigs, pig herders. Is that what we call them? Pig, swine herders. The pig farmers kept them. They fled. They went their ways into the city and told everything what had befallen to the possessed of the devils. They went back to town and said, "Guess what happened when Jesus came up and saw those guys outside the cemetery? He cast out the demons, and the demons went in the pigs, and the pigs jumped off the cliff." Were they happy that these people got cured of their demon possession? No. "Behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus." That sounds like a good thing, right? I mean, in the New Testament, the whole town, it was at Ephesus, the whole town came out the next Sabbath to hear the preaching of the gospel. Well, here the whole town comes out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. "Jesus, would you just go away? Get out of here." What's wrong with these people? Were they putting their pocketbook, love of the almighty shekel, ahead of somebody getting cured of a horrible problem? Of all the people in this chapter, I hope you don't identify with that crowd saying, "Jesus, I don't need you." I have to admit, I was that way for a while. When I was a teen, I got into doing what I wanted, what made me happy, pleasing myself. Join the sin for a season. And somebody come up to me and say, "Do you know about Jesus? Or want to talk about heaven?" I say, "I'm good. I'm fine." Yeah, I was lying through my teeth. I was a sinner enjoying it, and I was telling Jesus, "Go away. I don't want you." This crowd is. It's sad. The whole town came out and said, "Please go away." And Jesus will. Jesus won't force himself on anybody. He stands at the door and he knocks, you know. If we answer the door, he'll come in and sup with us and be our Savior. So we're about out of time here. This crowd here, this is just one evening walking with Jesus. All those people he met. He wanted to meet needs whenever needs were presented to him. Do you go to Jesus when you got a need? You know, maybe it's a financial need. Who do you go to talk to? Do you talk to Jesus first, or do you go to the banker and say, I want a loan? Loans are bad, right? I can't afford to buy it, but I'll buy it and pay interest. That doesn't compute. How about illness? When you got an illness, do you go to Jesus first? That's something should be natural. Took me years to figure that out, right? I go to this doctor, that doctor, this doctor, and if all else fails, I'll go to Jesus. You know, tried the doctors, but they didn't know what to do. I remember somebody near and dear was getting to the end of days, and the doctor say, "Well, we've done all we can," and somebody said, "Well, it's all in Jesus' hands now." And I swear I heard a voice audibly saying, "It always was." Oh yeah, you're right, Lord. So let's try to learn to trust Jesus. And when people come up with a need, we can direct them like he does there. Go to the Lord. If thou wilt, you can heal me, Lord. Help me to trust you. And even the answer is no. We still got to trust him. He's doing the right thing. He's a great Savior. Amen. Does he love us more than anything? Yes, he does. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for the time in your word tonight. We thank you that you know us, and yet you still love us. We ask you to increase our faith, Lord. Help us to see you as the Savior. Help us to think of those people around us that don't know you. If they died today, they'd be in the outer darkness, Lord. Help us to find a way to introduce you to them. We thank you for loving us enough to go to the cross. Thank you for giving us this church where we meet together, fellow believers, pray for each other. We do ask you to be with us so we can go home tonight. Keep us safe and bring us back again on Sunday. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.